If you would, come with me in prayer as we ask God to open his word that we may know him and hear him and experience his love and hope. Precious Father, we come before you in the name of our Savior, who is the risen Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we proclaim the truth of your word and the wherewithal that it has to transform us once again to the image of Christ Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the hearers of your word, that we may be changed, that we may be made whole and wholly thine. So, Father God, bless the speaker, bless the hearers, bless your word, that all may know that you are Christ, that you are our Lord, our Savior. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. Again, I just want to thank you all for tuning in to our services here through the Lent season and now with Easter Sunday upon us. And today I'm going to be finishing out this Lenten Easter series with the last sermon of our series entitled Walking in Newness of Life. I have a dear friend. He's down in North Carolina, and I love this gentleman. He has told me several times, and I love this story. He said he had a young pastor one day, and this guy was preaching on Easter Sunday and preaching on Easter Sunday and preaching on Easter Sunday, and they got to a point where they actually have songs in their sermons, and the pastor walked up to him and whispered in his ear and said, "I don't care what you preach today, but you better get him up out of the grave before we leave this place." So when you think about what Resurrection Sunday is about, it is about the fact that our Lord and Savior is alive. He is, again, living among us, with us, and around us. And so much that reminds me of what I need to speak of today and what people try to do in their own lives. So many people want to live a new life. They want to get rid of the old stuff and just move into new. Right now, how many of us would like to have something new going on rather than what is right now? And if we do that, if we see that as part of who we are, I can remember when my life finally came to the point where I wanted to be different. I could not stand who I was, what I was. This was pre-Christ. And the Lord walked into my life and gave me that new life. And today, that's what I want to talk about, because the newness of life that we can receive in Christ is a fullness of God's grace, fullness of his mercies, and a oneness in his spirit. We're talking about resurrection. We're talking about rebirth. We're talking about new life. I want you to think, when we read the scriptures and we start to look at what we're going to look at here, I want you to think about the men who wrote the New Testament. Many of them had no idea what was going on when Christ was here. They were kind of clueless because the Holy Spirit hadn't been given to them yet. So they had an idea of an earthly kingdom. But it wasn't until his death, burial, and resurrection that they realized, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that what God was doing was changing things in an even greater manner. And that's what I want us to talk about today, because it's in those places that we need to live. Think about the Apostle Paul, who was a persecutor of the church. And on the road to Damascus, he met the Lord face to face. And in that meeting, he was transformed. He was transformed into a man who loved God and literally gave his life for the cross and for the gospel. That's a transformation that goes beyond life into eternity. Today, we're going to talk about that. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We're going to be looking at God's word and what he has to tell us. We're going to be in verses 22 through 24. Verses 22 through 24. And here, what we find in these verses is what God is telling us we need to do. When we come to the place of wanting that new life, of walking in the newness of Christ, we've heard all the sermons leading up to this, and this walking in newness of life, this is what he says to us. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that's 21. I am sorry, I did not tell Pete I was starting there. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. You and I, when we take upon ourselves this new life, it's not like living in this world and moving to another state and trying to start over, all right? Many people try to do that. Many people try to start a new life, but the past has a way of coming in and grabbing a hold of us, and it's something we can't shake. Why? Because sin is still in our lives. Sin is still here holding us. But when we come to Christ, he gives us a new life that sin no longer has bounds over us. It no longer holds us. And we need to make room for this new life which is to come. And we need to take a hold of it and shed off this old life. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 5 and 22, it says we're to put off the old nature. All right? We're to put off the old nature. And I want us to remember that, you know, other places it says the old has gone, all right? When we think about that putting away, that going away, it's not something that God wants us to hang on to, because I want you to understand, God wants us to put it off, not patch it up. If God wanted us to patch it up, he'd keep us the way we were. Something that God wants us to hang on to, because I want you to understand, God wants us to put it off, not patch it up.
Put those things off, to turn from them and not have the power over you that they once had.
I know friends, and I myself can tell you of things that I was delivered from in my own life. Things that I really don't want to speak of anymore. Things I don't want to give any elevation to. And there are many of you out there who understand that truth, because that truth is where you've walked trying to get out of some of these things, and they just hold on. But when you accept Christ as your Savior and you begin to walk in that newness, you begin to find that they have no power over you because you've been forgiven of them. And when Christ sets you free, you are free indeed. So you and I need to understand that God wants us to put that old nature off, not patch it up. He doesn't want to fix it. He wants us to get rid of it. He has a new nature he wants to give us. That's what the scripture says when it says we're becoming that image, okay, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. You and I have been given a gift, but we have to receive it. We have to walk in it. We have to take it upon ourselves. And when we take Christ upon ourselves, we are set free. And some things really begin to happen in our lives. Now, we're going to talk about some of those things, because I'm going to tell you right now, one of the first things that happens is that we are filled with a joy of Christ. And where does that joy come from? That joy comes from several aspects that begin to happen in our lives. I want you to turn to 1 Peter with me. We're going to be doing a lot here in 1 Peter. These verses that I'm going to send you to is going to be primarily the rest of the sermon that you're going to look at. I'm going to pull in one other, but this is where the most of it comes from. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We are going to be in verses 3 through 9. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead,
to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. The first element of new life, the very first element of new life, is walking in a new hope. We have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That new hope, that blessed hope, that living hope is important because in it, it allows us to realize and understand that God is in control of all things. The things around us no longer control us. Okay, this is that putting off of the old self. This is being set free from sin. And people, sin is not just necessarily your sin, but is the sin of the world and the things that sin has caused. When you look out there right now, we can't be together as a fellowship because of this disease that's out there. Disease is part of death, all right? Prior to the fall, there were no diseases on this earth. They came as a result of the fall when genetics were changed because Adam and Eve changed things when they fell. You and I are a product of our nature and what has happened in that nature. And you and I need to understand God is outside of that. And the hope we have is an eternal hope. Yes, we can experience that hope now. We can understand that hope now. But the scripture that we read even says, though we have light and momentary troubles. You know, I want you to think about something, folks. Right now, what seems to be going on outside, millions of people laid off, people sick, some dying. It doesn't seem like light and momentary troubles. But I want you to understand, God's looking at this in an eternal nature. And those people who have passed and know the Lord, they're with him now, and their suffering is over. They're in glory, and I'll guarantee you, they don't want to come back, all right? I'm not speaking ill of them. I'm speaking a truth that you and I know, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and what a glory that is, because that's our hope. But for those who are sick or have perished and they don't know the Lord, unto them has come a condemnation. And that's why I'm here today, to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I think it's funny because that's my tie today, all right? That's exactly what my tie says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. All we have to do is receive that gift. That's all we have to do. And right now, if you want to walk in that newness of life, if you want to know that new hope, I'm going to tell you right now, you can know that new hope. You can know him who is our hope, Jesus Christ, just by calling out his name and telling him, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. In fact, pray this. Pray this with me. Pray it now. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, save my life, save my soul. Give me that new hope that I can understand and know that you're in control and that everything is under your feet. Lord Jesus, bless me with the wholeness of life. Save me from myself and give me your hope. Live in me, live your life through me and change me that I may be the image, the one that you are, that others may know you through me. in Christ Jesus. Amen. Man, if you prayed that prayer today, oh, please let us know. Let us know. Just send us a little text on your devices or whatever. Just let us know, because I want you to know you proclaim with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you will be saved. And that hope that I'm speaking of, that new hope, that resurrection hope, is yours today, and no one can take it from you. We have that hope in so many different ways. We have that hope as it pertains to this world and in the changing of our lives here and now. It makes our life better as we understand and move in the principles of the gospel, because God doesn't give us his word to hem us in, but he gives us his word to protect us and to keep us safe and to allow us to be happy without regard. So many times people ask me, how are you doing, Pastor? And I tell them I'm behaving. And it's funny, because people, when you're out in the street, where you're at the store, somebody will ask you, how are you today? I'm behaving myself. Well, you're not having any fun. I look right at them and I tell every person this very same thing. I am having the time of my life. Do you know why? And they just look at me and say, no. So because I don't have to remember anything I do. Because nothing I do is wrong. I don't have to remember anything. Because I don't have to remember a lie I told to somebody. So when I am behaving, when I am operating in the Lord, my spirit is free to experience God all around me, in this world and through this world. Today, right now, is the year 2020. What is 2020? Well, it's kind of neat, because when I think about vision, I wish I had 2020 vision. I wear glasses because I need them to read. Okay, I can see distances, I can see up close, but if I try to read, it's just blurry. So I need glasses. But Christ gives me a set of glasses that gives me 20/20 vision into this world to see the things of God clearly and to understand that he is in control of all these things pertaining to this world and the next world. And you and I need to understand that this is 20/20. Are you seeing what's happening out here in our world? And are you seeing that God is there to take care of the needs for each and every one of us? He tells us, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, I would hear from heaven and I would heal their land. Right now, this is the day of resurrection. This is the day that every Christian should be on their knees asking the Lord's forgiveness for the sins of our past, for the sins of mankind, for the things we have wrought on this world, that we may then be able to stand up and know God has forgiven us our sins, and now we can go forward into this world because it's already defeated. Jesus Christ has already won the victory, and that victory is here for you and I, both now and eternally. One of the greater things that God does also is he gives us a new peace. I want you to understand this. From the fact of God giving us the hope that everything's under his control, God also gives us a peace to know that he loves us, that he gives us worth, and that nothing should cause fear. You know, I was speaking with one of our brothers here earlier this morning, and because we did our taping backwards, and he said, you know, in fact, if you go to the Wednesday Bible study, you're going to see that. Brother Carl made the comment. He said, you know, the word says, fear not. Fear not. He says, that's not a holy suggestion. That's a command. Fear not. Okay? Perfect love casts out all fear. And God is perfect love. And in that, we have this new sense of peace. From the book of John, I want you to read this with me. From the book of John, in the 14th chapter. Book of John, 14th chapter. And verse 27, we read these words. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. We need to understand that when God gives us peace, that's eternal peace, that's everlasting peace. That's not a piece of our mind, okay? I get pieces of mind from people all the time. People like to tell me what to do and where I should be going and how I should live. And I know you're all the same way. Our world tries to influence us. All the things that we're being bombarded with on the news today are sent to us to upset us, to get us in a frenzy, and to whip us into following suit. Now, yes, we do need to come under our government, because as Christians, we're told that the government is set over us by God, and we're to honor them. However, when they begin to dishonor God, we really need to start watching those things. And thus far, they haven't. They haven't trampled over it. But you can see how they're using this time, these things that are going on, to cause an unrest. So let us have that sense of peace that says God's in control, and we know these things are going to happen. And let us walk in that peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's what it says in Philippians 4 and 7, that God gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. People are going to look at us and say, are you crazy? No, I'm not crazy. I'm not going to walk out in front of the bus and say, God's going to save me, because that's me walking in ignorance. That's me walking in stupidity, all right? I'm not going to have a gathering of 150 people and say, oh, well, Jesus is going to keep us from getting sick. And I've heard a lot of pastors saying that. Jesus just said in his word, we read it, in this world, you will have light and momentary troubles. He's telling us, beware. But be aware that God is here for us, for those of us who live according to his word and do what he says. He'll keep us safe. Just do what he says. And in that, you can have peace. But it goes beyond just walking in peace, because God gives us a new joy. The joy that God gives us, and this is going back to our 1 Peter scriptures, the joy that God gives us is a joy that is so full, so complete. I want you to think about this. In the scriptures, we're given a list of the spiritual fruits, the fruits of the Spirit, okay? The first one is love, and we've already spoken about that in one of our prior sermons. But the second fruit of the Spirit is joy. And that new joy is knowing that God's in control, knowing that he has our better looked out for. He sees what he wants and knows what is good for us. And we don't have to worry about what the future holds, because we know who holds the future. And our joy is not just in this world. So many people get locked up in this world. We need to remember this is a training ground for eternity. My joy is not governed by what happens here. I get joy out of the things that happen here because God has given us that ability. God has given us that right to be in joy with him in all things. But if we look to the things of the world to give us joy and not the one who created the world, this world's going to upset us, because this world is cursed. And that because of sin. So we need to think extra worldly. We need to think heavenly. In fact, the scripture tells us that. Think on these things, it says, the things that are noble, things that are good, things that are right, things that are pure. Think on the things of God, and he will bring us joy in the midst of any trial and trouble, because we know that he will allow us to succeed, and these things will come to an end. This corona thing, it's going to come to an end. The question is, are you going to spiritually and physically survive it? Or are you going to thrive in it? I want to thrive. I want to shine the light of Christ. I want to be Christ in this world. The other thing that we need to remember is that joy produces strength. You know, if you're not walking in joy, it is sapping your strength. It is everything you can do just to walk. But joy gives us a sense of pleasure. It gives us a sense of strength. It gives us an internal ability to continue on no matter what comes at us. Because when that joy is the joy of God in our lives, God is eternal. His strength is eternal. And nothing can take that away from us. It says in Nehemiah 8 and 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that is so true. You know, we have a dear sister in our church, and hi, Sister Jen, God bless you. She says, don't let Satan rob your joy. Because that's exactly what he wants to do. All of these things that are happening is because of the evil one in our world. And he wants to rob our joy. He wants to get us so down that we're depressed. We are of no earthly or heavenly good. And God says, no, you know the hope you have, okay? You know the peace you have. Know the joy. And from that joy, find the strength of God. And one of the things that I do dearly love about joy, and right now I miss it, that is joy brings into our hearts the want and desire of fellowship. And I mean to tell you right now, I miss our fellowship. You all know, Pastor likes to hug people, okay, appropriately. Because I believe in the ministry of touch. People need to be touched. People need to know somebody cares. People need to know somebody's willing to reach out and share a touch with them. One of the greatest aspects of coming together as the ecclesia, the church, it says in the scriptures, do not forsake the gathering, is because from that gathering we gain strength. From that gathering we gain joy. From that gathering we gain peace. From that gathering we gain. As much as you pour out to others, they pour out to you, and the gift you get back is spilled out and overflowing more than you can contain or hold. Right now, dear brothers, I'm telling you, I hope and pray that you are experiencing that love from me today, that I miss you, I love you, and I cannot wait to see you again, to hug your necks and truly tell you one-on-one that God loves you so much. I pray you are all well. I pray God is moving in your spirits. I pray that you are experiencing the newness of life every day. But you have to grab a hold of it, because it is received by faith and faith alone. That is in the very scriptures we read here, because it is a result of our faith. Okay? From verse 9, it says, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. And what does it say about the salvation of our souls in the scriptures? It says we are to work out that salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, it's going to take some work. It's not going to be easy. It's difficult. People say Christianity is a crutch. It's not a crutch, because it's not easy. But I'll guarantee you it is worth everything you put into it, because from it you find hope. From it you find peace. From it you find joy. And from those things, all the newness of God flows, and we once again become the image of God, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of our world. God knows your name. He knows who you are right now watching this. And he's calling out to you to allow him to become more, to experience that newness today. Today's Resurrection Sunday. It's the beginning. It's not the end. It's the beginning. And from that beginning, every day is a new beginning. Every moment in Christ Jesus is a new beginning. We've looked at our scriptures. We've looked at our sermons over this time. We've come full circle in these topics. We began with the subject of walking with God. But when we think about walking in God, it's truly walking in a newness of life. Because what we had prior to God was death. And when we begin to truly walk with God, it is a newness of life. So from walking with God, we receive a newness of life. And within that, we find that there is a way. We find that God's teachings, God's word, his law are a path. We find that there's a light that he wishes to give us to illuminate our path, to reveal himself to us. Remember, it's the year 2020. And he wishes to express through the Holy Spirit his desire to teach us and to gain wisdom into all things, and to empower us and encourage us to be the church, to love one another, to first love God, and then to go with the message of hope that you're receiving today. And then as we grow in love, we find that we are being made new every day, transformed, to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So today, I just want to challenge you as Christians, as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to accept that newness, to grab a hold of it this resurrection day. And if you're sitting there with your children or your spouse, if you're sitting there with somebody that you love, I want you to grab a hold of them right now. And remember that the love you feel for those people is only a smidge of the love that God feels for you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whomsoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. May the Lord bless you. Pray with me. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this word, this newness of life that gives us hope, that gives us peace, that gives us joy, that truly, Lord, sets our purpose. May we be washed over with the blood of Christ, set anew, and then set off into the power of the resurrection, that we may truly be and experience this newness unending in Christ Jesus, who is our Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.